On Drive with Joel and Fletch, it's time for Choose List Tuesday.
Yeah, well, this will be the last time before Christmas we hear from the great man Luminary List. This is our second last show together, Brian and I, for the year. Now, Luminary, before we get into the list, I would love for you to take us through your week. Now, just to recap for the listeners who don't know, so there's a giant tournament being run at Port Macquarie, and it all hinges on the decision of the man we're speaking to now, Dean Russell, the Luminary of List. Take us through how you arrived at such a big decision to call it all off and how it all went about.
Yeah, it hasn't been the greatest of weeks, I'll give you the tip. Unfortunately, the rain event that's happening in the far north of the state and through Queensland entered into Port Macquarie. They had a lot of water onto the venue late last week. We had to make a mercy dash up to Port Macquarie on Friday and had about three attempts to land before we were actually getting down onto the tarmac. Walked around the venue. It was inundated with water, flooding, and like really loose underfoot. And then you have a look at the weather forecast for the remainder of this week up there, and we were scheduled to get another 40 to 80 mil of rain tomorrow in Port Macquarie. So unfortunately, we had to make the heart-wrenching decision to postpone the State Cup.
How many people would that have now stopped going to Port Macquarie as a result? How big an event is it, Dean?
There's about 5,000 people that would have been going there this weekend. Wow. To participate in the event and get together, really. Like, it's been such a hard year COVID-wise for sport. It was a bit of a celebration at the end of the year saying we're back. So we just have to postpone that a little bit now and celebrate next year.
Dino,
bring on 2022.
Dino, obviously looking forward to the weather. You'd have to get a reliable app or a reliable source. I've been waxing unlyrically about the bomb, the bureau, because I think they're shocking. So have you got one that's pretty much spot on?
Oh, look, to be honest, I think all weather forecasters get money under false pretenses. But in saying that, we probably, work-wise, we monitor about six different sites so we can get a really good cross-section. The one that I've found is pretty accurate is Elders Weather, eldersweather.com.au, and this isn't paid for comment, but we've found them to be pretty accurate.
Gotcha, because the cricket's coming up, the first test, and I was just looking at a draw, and it's quite juicy if it's rained off.
There's always an angle.
So I'm looking, Elders, they're a real estate mob, aren't they?
Yeah, there is a company called Elders. I'm not sure they're connected. They might be, but yeah, eldersweather.com.au is one of the ones we use. We also look at Oz Forecast and Weather Zone and Wiley Weather and Farm Online Weather. So the bomb, we also take the bomb. I'm not a massive fan of the bomb myself.
Leave the bomb out. What about, has this ever happened before? Has the State Cup ever been cancelled before?
We've postponed it. We haven't cancelled it. We've just had to postpone it. But we've never, the Senior State Cup, we've never cancelled in its history. It started back in 1977. Unfortunately, we have had to have a couple of stoppages for our Junior State Cup event, and one of those being last year at Port Macquarie as well. And your favourite people, the bomb, predicted that we'd get about 40 mil of rain over 3 days, and we ended up with about 278 in 24 hours.
There you go.
So
there are six
really
of the better than
it.
Elders. I'm sick of the bomb.
I tell you what, I don't know if you can share this story or not, Dean, but when it comes to all the meetings you'd have about that and you're looking at all the weather apps, but if you have to rely on one person, who would that one person be?
Oh, look, we're really lucky in Port Macquarie. The groundsman there's had 30 years' experience looking after that venue, a bloke by the name of Kerry Lewis, and he's never steered us wrong in all the years. And I trust him with my life when it came to that venue.
There you go. Well done. I tell you what, you saved me some problems too, don't worry, running around with these crook calves and heavily overweight. Anyway, let's talk about this. This is your final list of the year, Dean, before we get to Christmas. Yeah. Where have you landed here?
So these are my biggest sporting stories of 2021. Things that really stood out to me as really big stories that happened. And number five is Minji Lee wins her first major. And it's actually, to be honest, it's actually a bit of a non-story, but it should have been a big story because it hardly got any coverage by the Australian media. So you've got Australian golfer Minji Lee. She's trailing the leaders by seven shots going into the final round of the Evian Classic, which is one of the LPGA majors. She shoots 7 under 64 to force a playoff with Lee Six of Korea. Minji was actually going to hit 5 iron into an approach shot into the hole during the playoff, and a caddy told her to take the 6 iron because she's got too much adrenaline pumping through her body. She takes the 6, she drops it 5 foot from the pin, and the rest is history. She took the title.
Wow, that's great advice.
Has she got a brother?
Yes, yes, Lin Lu Lee.
Yeah, and he's a gun too.
Yeah, they're both guns. So Minji's been on the cusp of winning majors for a while now, and this was really her breakthrough. So.
Great find, Dean, great find. That's number 5. Number 4.
Okay, big American story, one of the biggest stories coming out of American sport during the year, the Aaron Rodgers immunization debacle, for want of a better word. So you've already got Aaron Rodgers, who's massively popular in the States as the Green Bay quarterback. He's widely regarded as one of the best ever. Pre-season, there's a massive stink between him and the Green Bay Packers because the Packers didn't grab him any weapons in the draft. They actually went and took in their first-round pick a quarterback called Jordan Love. Then there was the standoff between Green Bay and Rodgers, which actually led to more people, public sentiment, moving to Rodgers because of the way he was being treated. He eventually reports for training, and he started the season on fire and was just killing it. Then when November comes around, the whole immunisation versus vaccinated debate started when he tested positive for COVID. And there was the debate about in the an August press conference, he was directly asked if he was vaccinated. And he answered saying, yes, he was immunised. Now, no one thought anything of it at the time, but it now turns out he probably wasn't vaccinated and the public sentiment kind of turned against him. And a number of ex-players, most notably the Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame quarterback Terry Bradshaw, have ripped into him publicly. So it's a massive story in the States.
And a big chance to win the Super Bowl too. And in the off-season, he was sort of gallivanting around, playing host to Family Feud, wasn't he? And living that type of life, I think you'll find.
Yes. So is he back? Yes, is he back now? Like, what's happened? Because he has been immunized.
I'm pretty sure he appealed to the NFL, the NFL Players Association, and they have a jointly approved infectious disease expert. And he hasn't come out publicly and said that what he has taken. He has said, I think, that he has an allergy, which only one approved vaccine in America he can take, but he's not comfortable about the reported side effects. And I think he's come out and said that he's taking zinc and monoclonal or something like that and infermercetin and some other treatments, so more herbal-type treatments. But he's back playing. He had a good game on last weekend. So
wonder if we see that in the rugby league, someone try and go down the same path as a bit of a precedent. Number 3, Dean.
I think this is the best feel-good story of the year, Ash Barty winning Wimbledon. So it kind of finally cemented Ash's credentials as a true world number one, which had been questioned outside of Australia, to be honest. And then there's the whole synergy to Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley winning 50 years ago and Ash commemorating that with the dress that she had specially designed. She had a tough tournament getting her way through to the semi-finals where she had to beat Kerber from Germany, who was coming roaring back in the second set, and then face Pliskova in the final. And after, she won the second set, and she actually looked like she was going to roll Ash, and I was thinking, oh, it's Pat Rafter and Goran all over again. But Ash prevailed. And is there a better role model for anyone in Australia right now?
Oh, 100%. No. As soon as she came out with that dress, or whatever you call it, the sporting apparel, similar to Yvonne, you thought, yeah, this has got a bit of something in it. And having won the French Open, we just don't pay that the same way, do we, Dean?
No. Look, the French Open is a whole different kettle of fish. Look how slow the game is played. And for me, I'm a traditionalist. I love the grass court tennis. I wish the Australian Open was still played at Kooyong.
Yeah, I agree. Number 2.
Number 2, this is the massive story. It just keeps on giving. It's got so many storylines, so many layers. Tim Paine. So who knew that Tim Paine, one, was such an idiot? Yeah. And who knew that that stoic character who was put in place to rebuild cricket's culture was actually a flawed hero? And then, of course, why was the complaint lodged 12 months after the act? Did it have anything to do with the other party's dismissal from Tasmanian cricket? Then you've got the whole handling of the situation by Cricket Australia both then and now, and that's kind of led into what's going to be the impact on Australia's preparations for the Ashes. It's now the whole debate about the fast bowling captain and the first since Ray Limwell in 1957. It fed into Steve Smith and the Sandgate leadership question all over again. Every Australian ex-cricketer is having his moment in the spotlight with an opinion. There was a Liz Ellis, Mark Taylor, Stoush on Wide World of Sports, and now the whole wicket-keeping issue and debate. So it's a story that just keeps on giving. And to think, it's actually taken the Poms' racism problems in cricket right out of the public viewfinder here in Australia. Can you imagine if this wasn't going on, how we'd be ripping into the Poms about what's occurred over there?
Oh, 100%.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, and Brian has shown me something to allude towards number one, and I think you've got it, Dean. Let's go number one.
Well, surely the biggest story of 2021 has to be the Great White Shark.
There he's done. Absolutely.
Is it real? Or is it a prosthetic? I mean, I've been a fan of the Sharks. I'm one of his biggest fans. I've had tears when he's lost those majors in dramatic circumstances. But even my admiration of the Shark has gone up, and it's not hard to imagine why his three wives, Laura, Chris Evatt-Lloyd, and Kirsten, always seem to be happy when they're around the Shark. Everything about the Shark's
great personality,
big. It's not real, Dean. Nah. It's not real. Because I think I mentioned this. I had a look at the 80s when he was walking up the 18th hole, and I paused.
Zoomed.
And locked in, and I can tell you, there was nothing there.
Nah.
Not because that would
surgeons can do miracles these days.
Might be surgical.
Everything about the Shark's big. Yeah. His aura's big. His golf game's big. His empire's big. His divorce is actually still. I'm pretty sure his first divorce is still one of the biggest in sports history. I think Laura ended up with $103 million out of the divorce.
That's big, Dean. Thank you very much, mate, and we look forward to a great Christmas ahead. But thank you for everything you've done in 2021. We look forward to 2022.
Thanks, Trent. I've really enjoyed it. Look after yourselves.
You too, mate. There he is, the luminary of Liz, Deanie Russell.